Live from the Sandler Training Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Paul J. on vacation today. He will be back tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
David Allen in for him.
He had a good trip. He was down in Austin, Texas, and he and his wife were posting things on Facebook and Twitter all about it. They looked like they were having a good time.
Austin's a good place to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You can have fun there.
As long as it's not flooding.
Exactly. Chris Walton here, Todd with 1D, running the controls. Everything's calm, cool, and collected. I want to do something different to start out the show today and see how this works. I really don't want to talk about politics, and I don't want to play partisan politics.
Okay.
Because this isn't really about Republican, Democrat, or independent. And I really don't want to talk about Obama, Hillary, or Trump. So I want to talk on a macro level instead of a micro level.
Okay.
So ISIS is the enemy of the world, if you want to look at it that way.
So it seems. You know, and the amazing thing is, the last several years, they've killed more Muslims than they have anybody else.
Yeah, they...
Because
during
they...
During Ramadan, they're just slaughtering people.
They not only don't like Western civilization, in particular America, but they also don't like Muslims who are living with Western, you know, habits.
Ideals or whatever. Yeah.
Like going to the mall or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Wearing a dress.
They don't care for that. Yeah, women, you know, just out wearing a pantsuit or something.
Yeah.
They hate that, and so frequently they kill people. What was the other one? The other day it was in Baghdad, and before that,
at the mall in
Turkey,
in Bangladesh,
at the airport,
and Bangladesh over the weekend too.
Bangladesh as well.
So I always hear, and yes, I hear from the administration, but again, this isn't about the administration because I hear from the DOJ and I hear from the Pentagon and I hear from everybody that ISIS is on the run, that the bombings have hurt them,
that their numbers are dwindling,
Yet in the past week, they killed over 250 people in three different incidents.
The problem with that is it doesn't require more than a handful of people to do most of the things they do.
And so,
you know, how do you infiltrate a crowd? Well, just walk in with everybody else.
Yeah, just walk in with everybody else and blow yourself up.
Exactly. And that requires essentially one person to build a bomb and one person to strap it to themselves.
Yeah. So that leads to my question. It's July of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do? And I'm talking...
What do we do about ISIS?
What do we do about ISIS? Do we just say, well, this is how things go and...
Okay. Well, what are our choices here? Do we reform them?
Well, I'm okay with...
I don't think you can reform fanatics.
You couldn't reform the Germans. You couldn't reform the Japanese back in World War II. So you have to slaughter them. You have to destroy them. You have to... And just random bombing by drones doesn't seem to be doing it.
Okay, and then the question is asked, whose job is it to do that, or whose job should it be to do that?
Well, if they're killing Americans, shouldn't it kind of be part of our job? I'm not saying all of our job, but part of our job?
They are killing Americans, but they're killing a lot of other people as well.
Yes.
So, you know, how about France? How about England getting in on the thing?
I guess my question...
I'll tell you what, why don't we just... This is what I would do. I mean, let's get the United Nations involved.
Now, the United Nations isn't going to do crap.
Well, the United Nations does a lot when it comes to peacekeeping operations, but it's like pulling teeth to get them to add a new operation.
Yeah.
Like, they have a peacekeeping force in the Middle East, and it's been there since 1948. However, how much peace has there been in the Middle East since 1948? Hardly any.
Those guys in the blue helmets,
they're
not striking fear in anybody.
They are there. And the United States has been part of some UN operations, obviously, and other countries have as well, usually on a much more limited basis than the U.S. However, isn't this a problem that everybody in the world has?
It is, and it just seems like everybody's standing around waiting for somebody else to take the lead. And you have the French with three separate incidents blowing people up. You had the Orlando thing, whether you want to say it was ISIS or it was against gays or whatever you want to say. The guy was obviously radicalized something somehow and kill all those people.
And the fact is, if you're in the middle of doing something heinous and you give the credit to ISIS as it being their idea,
yes,
then it is.
Yes.
You know, whether they accept it or not.
They're gonna take responsibility. They can't get enough of that kind of stuff. And they love killing the infidels.
But I
wonder how long everybody's just going to stand around looking at each other.
Well, and the point is, though, you can't figure out if it's a regular military operation or not. Simply because they don't have uniforms. They don't have an actual flag. You can't declare war on a particular country.
But what you can do is, if you know, like those Turkish guys all came, and then they were all from the old former Soviet Union, and they were part of that, so they weren't from the Middle East. They were from Uzbekistan and all that, but they were part of ISIS on that. And you know that they all came from Raqqa.
And they were still radicalized Muslims.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And you all know they came from Raqqa. And that's where the home base of ISIS is. Why the hell is Raqqa still standing? I don't understand why it's just not paved over and a parking lot right now.
Well, how many people that aren't ISIS are there?
I don't care.
Well, somebody must.
Well, that's my point. Everybody's looking to stop collateral damage. When you're in a war against somebody and you're more worried about the people that ISIS is hiding behind rather than the innocent people that ISIS are going to end up killing.
We're still trying to figure out a way, though, to get rid of them without just indiscriminately killing a whole lot of people.
That's how we won World War II, is just by bombing Dresden and just firebombing everybody. I just don't understand. And if I'm wrong, call me and tell me I'm wrong. Which Chris is not having to call in. He's telling me I'm wrong. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. I'm just wondering, when are we going to do something? And if we're just going to sit around looking at each other and just every time shake our heads going, well, there's another 250 dead, or now there's another 170 dead.
Then we might as well get used to it.
And it's just, let's just have this be the day-to-day operations here, and it's just ridiculous. All right, 845, one more check of traffic. Brought to you this morning by Mass Mutual Idaho. Mass Mutual Idaho has a new location, but the same robust team of professionals. See them at the Village at Meridian, Mass Mutual Idaho, led by Paul Hales at 364-0500. That's 364-0500. Here's Logan Kramer. David Allen, Chris Walton here with you.
And an instant message.
All right.
Talking about your topic you brought up is simply what to do about ISIS, because at some point we have to do something. Bob says we need good intel of where large gatherings of ISIS are. Then the rules of engagement need to be changed. We cannot avoid all innocent civilians. When you take out cancer, you take out some good cells. But if you don't do that, you will die from the cancer as it will grow.
I agree, and I would feel terrible about all the people who would be innocent victims of any attack against ISIS. But if they're using those people as human shields, does that mean we're just never going to attack them? Because there happened to be, I remember, and I know Afghanistan, it's a different beast because that's Al Qaeda. Mm-hmm. I was watching a documentary, and these. Five American troops out on patrol found Al-Qaeda stronghold. There were four or five Al-Qaeda guys there, but they were right next to a school or a library or something like that. And so they call in and they're asking for an airstrike.
This was in Afghanistan?
In Afghanistan.
So Al-Qaeda and not the Taliban?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was Al-Qaeda and not the Taliban.
Right.
Or it may have been Taliban, or it might have been ISIS. You can't keep them all straight. Anyway, it was the bad guys. And so they call in for an airstrike. And they find out from the upper echelon, not going to happen. Sorry, can't do it because they're too close. And the guy's standing right across the field. They're looking at him. They're too close to people who will die.
Aren't involved.
And we're trying to win over the populace.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, we'll just start shooting at them and see what we can do and try to go back to home base.
You go back centuries ago and wars of any kind were fought. Two armies would gather on some field.
Yes.
And they would fight it out. And whichever one, had people standing or they didn't retreat or whatever, would be the winner. But we really don't fight that way anymore.
And so, in
Vietnam, this happened, World War II, where you go into cities and a lot of civilians end up getting killed. Now, I understand that ISIS needs to be dealt with. ISIS, probably needs to be wiped out in some way. However, how many people would be too many to kill as collateral damage?
How many Americans? There's too many. How many innocent victims around the world? There's too many. 255 in a week.
But do you take an eye for an eye? Or do you just, do we have to figure out some other way to do this?
And maybe higher ups smarter than me and you are trying to figure it out. But I don't see anybody trying to figure it out. I don't see anybody in the military trying to figure it out. I don't hear anybody saying we need to do X, Y, and Z.
But they have to be.
Do they?
My guess is they simply haven't come up with a better idea than any of the rest of us have.
How long has ISIS been going strong? 4 years? 5 years?
At
I mean,
least,
when they've been doing major attacks.
Right.
4 or 5 years? Have we done anything other than drone strikes? And we killed this mullah?
We
killed that guy?
We have been picking them off one or two or three at a time.
Okay. And they blow up a mall in Baghdad and kill 159 people.
Mm-hmm.
And we kill two. And then they go slaughter 20 people in a bar, three of them Americans, and we kill one.
It's like Bob said in his instant message. He said, we have to figure out some place where they're all gathering. Well, I don't think they gather in groups of 150.
In Raqqa, they do, though. That's just it. They know exactly. I've seen pictures where they say, this is the headquarters of ISIS. And I'm like, why is it still standing? Why is it not just a bunch of rubble? The rest of Syria is rubble. Why can't that building that you know is the brain trust of ISIS, why is it not rubble? I don't understand. And obviously nobody cares about ISIS, because nobody's calling in, or I'm not asking the right question.
Bill of Boise wrote in, he says, well, you just talked about everything you don't want to talk about. How does ISIS have nothing to do with our government? How can we talk about ISIS without mentioning the U.S. government? I don't get your logic.
No, what I'm saying is I don't want people to call in and go, this is all Obama's fault, or Hillary's not going to do anything, or Trump's not going to do anything. I'm sick of the finger-pointing.
Well, I understand that. Regardless of whose fault it may be, what do we do from here on?
And so I guess I just didn't want it to be a partisan thing to where all the Republicans call in and say, well, this is Obama's fault. And then Rich calls in and goes, what was Obama supposed to do? And we end up just going around in a circle, mm-hmm. which it seems like what we've done for 5 years.
True.
It's just go around in circles pointing fingers at everybody rather than everybody saying somebody's ass has got to get kicked.
My guess is at the Pentagon, the same thing is happening. Or in the Department of Defense, the same thing is happening. They're going around and around in circles. They're coming up with ideas, but nothing has been a terrific idea yet.
Is it frustrating to anybody but me?
Because most of these people, you don't find out they're in ISIS until they've done something, usually which involves their own death.
Except that you know that there have got to be people that have intel on X, Y, or Z, and I'm not talking about in this country, about in other countries, because they're watching them in Iraq watching them in Syria.
And again, though, you talked about picking them off one, two, three at a time. It's the intel that allows us to do that, but the intel hasn't yet provided us with a big group.
Makes my head explode.
Yeah, a little bit.
Next hour, we're going to talk about soup recipes. Call in with your favorite winter or summer soup recipe.
We're not.
News coming up next on 670 KBOI.
625. We are 670 KBOI Boise.
A Cumulus station.
It's 9 o'clock. KBOI News starts now.
Campaigner in chief, learning from Jupiter. I'm Michael Toscano. President Obama and Hillary Clinton, a few hours away from their first joint campaign appearance of the 2016 campaign, on their way to battleground state North Carolina.
The campaign wants to see these pictures broadcast of them arriving to Charlotte on Air Force One together, descending the stairs together.
Correspondent Michelle Kaczynski, Donald Trump also hoping to win the Tar Heel State with a rally tonight in Raleigh. NASA's spacecraft Juno now orbiting Jupiter, giving us a look below the dense upper atmosphere for the first time. Astrophysics professor Fran Bagenal on what we might learn.
What we're looking for are the pieces that go into making life. So oxygen, nitrogen, carbon and so on, which we want to know how much there is inside Jupiter. And that will tell us about solar system formation and tell us about our origins as a planet.
Abner Mikva, former Illinois congressman, judge and presidential advisor, has died at the age of 90. I'm Michael Toscano. There will be no trial by jury for the highest-ranking Baltimore police officer charged in the death of a young black man whose neck was broken inside a police van. Lieutenant Brian Rice has chosen to be tried instead by a judge, the same one who acquitted two fellow officers in the death of Freddie Gray. CNN reports the death toll from Sunday's massive attack on shoppers in Baghdad now stands at 215, with ISIS claiming responsibility. Correspondent Ben Wiedemann reports the Iraqis are holding and executing ISIS supporters.
In addition to executing those five overnight, that comes to 37 members of ISIS executed by the Iraqi authorities in the last 2 months. There are more than 3,000 still on death row waiting to be executed.
The Commerce Department says U.S. manufacturing orders dropped 1% in May, hurt by weaker demand for military wares, metals, furniture, and electrical appliances. On Wall Street, stocks are lower, bond prices are rising on new concerns about the EU. I'm Michael Toscano.
You're talking about it.
Are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho. 670 KBOI.
Paul J. taking one more day of vacation for the July 4th Independence Day weekend. He will be back tomorrow on Wednesday. It is Tuesday today. Tomorrow will be Wednesday for those folks who had to go back to work thinking it's Monday. It is not.
Yeah, it feels like it, though.
It does.
Some instant messages here. We've been talking about what to do about ISIS, if anything. Dave of Boise says, as far as ISIS goes, we need to reward the people that will point them out and turn them in and kill the ones that are caught immediately without any hesitation. We need to make it so there is nowhere in the world they can hide. There needs to be serious consequences for the people caught practicing radical religion, not just here in the U.S., but all around the world. It has to be a group effort. If a country is caught harboring them, then the country should be punished. We must get fired up and start thinking outside of the box. The only problems I have with that are how you define radical religion. Now, I would say it's a radical religion if you go around killing anybody who isn't part of your religion.
Yes.
Right there, that makes you radical.
Yes.
And that's what these people are doing. We need to obviously get rid of people who are killing other people. But like in America, for instance, we're allowed to practice any kind of religion we want, short of breaking other laws.
Yeah.
Such as, for instance, murder.
As long as you don't want to kill somebody, you can practice your religion here. Exactly.
Exactly. The disgruntled vet wrote in to say hearts and minds doesn't work. We should have learned this from Vietnam. We can't surgically remove Daesh. You know, that's what they call they call themselves. We call them ISIS. Daesh without ground troops.
I agree with that. And I'm naive enough because I was very young, obviously, at the time. So if somebody who was either in Vietnam or studied it would want to call in and disagree with me, I wouldn't fault them. To me, I think we lost Vietnam because we didn't. We fought a different war. The Vietnamese, the North Vietnamese were fighting one war and we were fighting a different war.
Yeah.
And that was never going to work because we were so busy trying to make sure that we didn't piss anybody off. And so that's why we lost that war.
Mike of Nampa says, if some innocents are killed, if we attack the ISIS leadership, we didn't kill them. ISIS did. They know exactly what they're doing.
That's a
you'll never convince
Dave.
You'll never convince the people's families themselves of that sort of thing.
But Dave has a good point that we need to think outside the box. The days of doing X, Y, and Z isn't working.
Now, Bob thought of something interesting. He says, I will bet the farm that people in the Pentagon have plans to wipe out ISIS, but Obama won't let them loose.
And I don't know. And then it becomes a situation. Do you think Hillary or Donald are going to change, are going to do a radical 180 from the way the last 4 to 5 years has gone?
And the disgruntled jet wrote back in to say they do gather in large groups. They have parades.
You know, Michael Savage talks about it all the time, and he was very frustrated. It was after, I don't know which terrorist event it was,
Turkey,
that they were driving. No, it was a couple months ago. They were driving down the road. There was about a group of 18 Toyotas driving down a road. ISIS flags flying. How did
and we got footage of them, but didn't do anything.
And didn't do a thing. Didn't do a thing, but you could see the video of it. And he says it all the time. Goes, how come all of those Toyotas aren't blown up to bits?
And it's funny. They're not sponsored by Toyota, but you wouldn't know it to look at them.
No, you wouldn't. It's the most amazing thing. And I just... I just think innocent people around the world, not just in this country, I'm talking around the world. I mean, there were only three Americans killed in Bangladesh, and those people were all hacked to death. I mean, they're not dying in explosions. They're dying mm-hmm. in horrific ways.
Well, sometime back, they burned a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Basically, like at the stake, but they weren't at the stake. They were just in cages.
Yeah.
What was it they did the other day to?
Well, there was a story here that there were seven ISIS fighters who left the battlefield, and so as punishment, they boiled them alive.
Yeah. Again, fairly extreme.
You thought beheadings were bad.
A lobster.
Now they're just coming up with new ways, yeah. You know, and they're throwing gays off of buildings. Four-story buildings, and then getting stoned.
I mean, that's not good, but they've been doing that for a long time.
Sure, but now you have video of it, and I see, you know, where obviously you've got the movement of Black Lives Matter because they don't want cops killing blacks, and I get that. I'm all for that.
Okay.
And then you get Blue Lives Matter because cops are getting shot.
And they don't want to get shot either.
To me, every life matters, and can we do something to try to slow down a group that wants to slaughter everybody who doesn't agree with them. It's baffling to me.
I mean, I heard an argument one day that we're trying to slaughter a group who doesn't believe in not slaughtering people, and so that's kind of a strange thing.
It is. And the reason the Afghani war is the longest running war ever is because we tried to play fair.
It's the longest one we've been involved in.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The longest we've been involved in.
Wallace of Boise says there is no doubt ISIS is using human shields, but once they find out that won't work, they will lose a major tactic. It is sad that we will kill innocent people, but we either go after this as a war and annihilate ISIS, or it will just get stronger. The only thing that puzzles me is why the Islamic nations of the Middle East haven't gone full scale after ISIS.
It is surprising how law-abiding Muslim countries who are also, for a while, Al-Qaeda was saying ISIS was too severe. Whenever Al-Qaeda says you're too tough, there's something wrong with you, but they don't do anything to stop them within their own country. I mean, people in Syria know that where they're staying, and they do nothing about it. And I don't get why Muslims don't want to go, hey, these people are painting us with a broad brush where everybody thinks every Muslim is a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stop them from doing that because that's not what our religion is about. But they don't say that or they don't do that.
Well, they're just not able to stop them, I guess.
I'm a Christian. And anytime an abortion doctor gets killed by a Christian, I'm like, that's not me. That's not what I do. Mm-hmm. That's not what I stand for. And I don't want, I'm not a fan of abortion, but I don't want abortion doctors killed. That's what you have to do something about it.
Dave of Boise says, so what you just said is that ISIS is going to be protected by our own laws, and they will be. Maybe it's time to change the laws, at least toward the radical groups. The radical groups are the ones who want to kill folks, just to be clear. Yeah, true. But again, because these guys work mostly in secret. Yes, every now and then they're visible. Every now and then they get their tape on Al Jazeera. And we know supposedly exactly what they're doing and where they are. But for the most part, they infiltrate. And they, you know, they work inside cities and places like that where there are lots of other people who aren't in ISIS.
But if you've got a group of 10 ISIS people getting together,
mm-hmm.
and nothing is a secret if it's beyond one person. If I tell you a secret, it's no longer a secret.
True.
Now two people know, which means pretty soon, 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 can know. There's no such thing as a secret once it goes past one. So how do these people all work in secret? Nobody ever sees 40 Muslims all getting together and they're radical and they're sitting together. I guess they're just getting together for a coffee.
What I think people are waiting for, they're waiting for the armies of various Middle Eastern nations, Islamic nations, to simply rise up and say, okay, it's declared now illegal to be a member of ISIS. And if you so much as show your face, we're going to, you know, send 100 soldiers over to your house, something like that. However, that hasn't happened yet, has it?
No, it hasn't. And until we wait, people keep getting slaughtered. 9:15, we'll be back talking about vice presidential candidates for Donald Trump and if that will make a difference. 9:15 on 670 KBOI. 9:20 now at 670 KVOI. David Allen in for Paul J. Schneider. Chris Walton here. Rewards code for today. VEEP. V as in Victor. E-E-P. Rhymes with Jeep. Stealing that one from Todd.
And stands for VP, which is Vice President.
Yeah. Go to KVOI.com. Enter the keyword VEEP. Get your 5,000 rewards points. All right. Donald Trump has been talking to some good folks and tweeting about some good folks about possible vice presidential candidates and some names out there. Today, Bob Corker will meet with him. He's a Tennessee senator, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. He's going to appear with Trump at an evening rally in Raleigh, North Carolina. That's just a few hours after Hillary and President Obama speak in Charlotte. Over the weekend, two other names were held, and Trump held meetings with them. Joni Ernst of Iowa, senator, and Governor Mike Pence of Indiana.
Right.
If you are a Republican and a Trump backer, do any of those three names I just said to you
make you excited?
Send a tingle up your leg.
Probably not.
336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon wireless.
Mike Pence we've heard of before for various reasons.
Yes.
Joni Ernst is new to most people.
I believe so, yes. And does it look desperate? I'm going to use that word. We talked about it a little bit in the break. Does it look desperate if he puts a woman on the ticket?
Well, it might look strategic. But I'm sure that anything Hillary Clinton is going to do, because she has to choose a vice president as well.
Yeah.
Might end up being Elizabeth Warren, might not. But she'll do something strategic as well. You know, and as we know from some of the past few elections, occasionally the strategy backfires.
Yes.
Now, Donald Trump wants a running mate who has what he lacks, and that's political experience. He needs, because he is a Washington outsider, he needs a Washington insider that can help him with, you know, whatever his agenda ends up being.
Yes.
And that's why he's considered, you know, people like former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich and Chris Christie. Also, Senator Jeff Sessions and Mike Pence would be one of those as well. Hillary Clinton is putting a premium on diversity, so she may choose a female or somebody from a minority. Chances are she will not choose, you know, a white man that's a Washington insider. She doesn't need a Washington insider.
No, she's about as insider as you're going to
get. Well, as far as winning the election, she probably could use somebody that's more like Trump as a vice president.
Yes.
Not exactly like Trump, but then again, who's exactly like Trump?
Nobody. He's an individual.
They're running strikingly similar processes for tapping their VP picks, relying on prominent Washington lawyers to comb through the backgrounds of top contenders, you know, because nobody wants to get a surprise.
No.
Now, with Trump, all of these things that used to disqualify somebody from running for president apparently don't fly anymore. Like, he's been married 3 times. Well, apparently people don't care about that.
Yeah, it's not important anymore.
It hasn't been important since Reagan became our first ever president who had been divorced. But they're seeking guidance from a small circle of trusted advisors and family members, especially Trump with family members, and weighing their personal chemistry with prospects. Trump is obviously a wealthy businessman. He has never held public office. He's been mulling over a small number of political veterans. And as I said, Gingrich, you know, Chris Christie, Jeff Sessions, Governor Mike Pence, and also you mentioned Senator Joni Ernst.
Yeah.
And as I said, not a well-known name. However, she's the only one of that group that isn't a white man over the age of 50.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton has said that she wants a running mate who is well-prepared to become president. But Democrats say she's also giving priority to diversity and has been weighing women and black candidates and Hispanic candidates, which is, of course, a nod to the voting blocks that Democrats need to win in presidential elections.
Yeah. Gary and Emmett, you're on with David and Chris on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Good morning, David Allen. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, glad to hear you guys today. What a fourth it was yesterday.
Yeah, yes. We liked it. Yeah.
More fireworks than I've seen since I've been up here in the Treasure Valley.
Hmm.
Just incredible. Everyone had a mortar. Anyhow.
it sounded like it, didn't it?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, more than I imagined. I mean, I've been here and I've seen it many times, and you know, in the last 8 years at least, it's the most I've ever observed. I don't know if that means a lot, but, you know, the Republican turnout in the primary was up over 50%, and the Democrat turnout in the primaries was down over 30%. Did you know that?
I did not know that, no.
Yeah, it's been reported, and so...
You have an explanation of why that might be?
I would say enthusiasm gap, and not to be too negative about things, but Republicans are more energized voting against Obama and his policies than the Democrats are voting for them.
All right, Gary, thanks for the call.
Hang on for me one second.
We got to go to news here, so we'll come back to your thought. Hang on for me. We've got to go to news at the bottom of the hour. Right. I don't know if they're motivated enough to win the election for Trump, though. We'll have to see what Gary says about that. We've got Rick with news coming up at the bottom of the hour. Then we'll get back with Gary. 926 on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
David Allen in for Paul, Jay today. Chris Walton here. Before we get back to Gary and Emmett, I do want to bring up the breaking news. FBI Director James Comey said today his agency is not recommending that charges be brought against Hillary Clinton as a result of the year-long investigation into her use of a private email server while serving as Secretary of State.
Well, that's too bad.
Will not. So if you want to comment on that, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on Verizon Wireless, Hillary not getting charged in the email scandal. Let's go back to Gary and Emmett. Gary, you're on 670 KBOI. Thanks for holding on, brother.
Hey, you know, Joni Ernst is a lieutenant colonel, and she's served multiple tours in combat. Did you know that?
Does that help?
No, I really didn't know anything about her until today.
Yeah.
I've known about her a long time and looked at her and always told people she would be a very viable candidate.
Okay.
She's only been in the Senate 2 years now. But that, in fact, is long enough for a quick study to understand what's going on, and she's very popular there. But mostly, we are going into a wartime situation, or we are at war right now. Just any look at Ramadan tells you that they're ramping up the offensive on the other side. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, you know, all of those people are ramping up the attack against the West and the United States. And it is not a bad idea to have a blooded veteran in a position of leadership during a time of war. It really helps. And there is no one with that background running on the Democrat side. I think that she shows a real possibility and strength because of that. And I think considering security concerns, and especially if this offensive against the West continues on the run-up to the election, having a veteran will bring a vote to Trump.
Do you think, short of the president passing away, that it even matters who the vice president is?
Indeed it does, because the vice presidential office now is not what it was when they say that if you wanted to get out of politics, run for vice president.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not just a heartbeat away. The presidency, unfortunately, in my estimation, but still, the presidency has gained in importance. It has became a larger and larger responsibility. The president has gained and gained authority, and with it, there is more and more of a need to have someone to help them facilitate all the things the president does.
And has that been the vice president the last few terms?
I believe it has. If you look at Obama, actually, you know, Crazy Uncle Joe, as they call him, has been a very important part of policy. He said it on every policy decision, and it was his years of experience that Obama leaned on when he needed to get things done.
I remember back in 2008 when he was chosen. There were people who thought that his whole job for the next 4 years or possibly 8 years would be to simply not say anything that was too terribly stupid.
And it wasn't that at all. He showed more talent and was more adroit than people gave him credit for. And if you look before that at the vice president under George W., or even if you look at, back at Gore under Clinton, or you look back at Bush under Reagan, those were important roles that were carried out.
All right, Gary, thanks for the call. We appreciate the insight,
And it turned out to be fairly important with Bush under Reagan because, you know, when Reagan was finished with his 8 years in office, you know, Bush ran, and that was the first time in a long time there had been three consecutive Republican, you know, administrations.
I still say if Gore hadn't tried to distance himself so much from Clinton,
he would have
probably won because Clinton was so popular. But he really tried to distance himself from that. Continuing on with the story I gave you here before we went to Gary about James Comey saying there will be no charges. He was quoted as saying, although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case.
Okay.
In looking back at our investigations into the mishandling or removal of classified information, we cannot find a case that would support bringing criminal charges on these facts.
So she did things that were not right, but they're not considered criminal.
Yes.
Okay.
Said that the FBI spent a tremendous amount of work over the past year, and now the case is headed to the DOJ, who have the ultimate say when it comes to any prosecutive decision.
Now hearing this, do you think, okay, they mulled this over and figured out, that this is their... this is their recommendation, or do you think, now what's in it for the FBI?
It's always difficult to trust government investigating government. I've never trusted a bit of that.
Well, like when there's it used to be in this town before we had an ombudsman, if there was a complaint against the police department, it was generally looked into by the police department.
Yeah.
And you know, quite often they found themselves not guilty.
And to use an NCAA, and, you know, whenever a school self-imposes because they've done violations and they go, oh, well, we're just going to, you know, get rid of these two. You know, it's much, much worse than that.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have said a thing.
They would have said nothing. But since they investigated themselves, they're ready to move on. But you can never trust that.
We know we did wrong and we're going to sit out for 6 days or, you know, something like that.
So I don't know how you can say that there was wrong done and not bring charges.
Well,
I don't understand.
And Bob and Meridian, well, apparently they assumed that they were mistakes. And I guess you don't prosecute for mistakes. You prosecute for intent. Now, Bob and Meridian says, didn't Hillary sign an affidavit that she turned over all her emails when in fact she didn't? Seems to me she could be prosecuted on that alone. I guess the fix is in.
And then my next...
So Bob then has that same question that I did.
Yeah.
What's in it for the FBI?
And so then my next question becomes, let's say that she doesn't know how to handle email. We want her to be president?
Well, and there again, I mean, you know, she was asked, did you wipe the server? And she said, what, like with a rag?
With a claw?
I mean, seriously, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
And if she was only playing dumb, then why is that okay?
That's not good either. I don't get it. 336-3700, and I'm not a Trump fan either, so... I don't need people to call and say, you're just a Trump guy.
Dallas wrote in to say she will probably choose a transgender Muslim refugee that screams death to America and will claim anyone who disagrees is a racist, sexist bigot and that we need more gun laws. Well, I mean, that's kind of a given.
336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. 944. We'll talk to more of you next on 670 KBOI. 948. David Allen in for Paul J. Chris Walton here. We've got about 10 minutes left in the show. Wanted to read another quote here from FBI Director James Comey.
Okay.
He criticized Clinton and her aides for carelessly handling classified top secret information. He said there's no evidence she intended to do so. How would you find evidence of that?
She wrote evidence of her intentions?
Like she sent an email saying, hey, staff,
well,
screw up that top secret information.
That would be evidence of what she was trying to do.
But
short of that, they don't know.
Ignorance of the law doesn't mean you're innocent, does it?
Well, especially when you're the
Secretary of State, for goodness sakes. Although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case. Potential violations... And no case. I don't. Those two, mm-hmm. all those words together in a sentence make no sense to me.
Mike wrote in to say the fix was in all along. Comey and Lynch have just proved they're nothing more than bought and paid for politicians. Sad. Now, you remember last week, the big story was that, Lynch was at the airport.
Yes.
Bill Clinton ended up at the same airport, boarded Lynch's plane.
Accidentally.
On purpose.
Oh.
To have a... To have a conversation with her, and he claimed that it was about grandchildren. You know, we just wanted to catch up.
Yes.
Which I think most of the world did not believe. That they assumed that he wanted to talk about, Hillary for some reason and this upcoming decision. So, maybe the fix has been in with Lynch, but I don't know. You want to put Comey in that, or do you think he's just the reporter in this case?
I don't know. Donald Trump sent out a tweet, and it's a very good point, saying the system is rigged and citing charges brought against General David Petraeus over handling of classified information.
Yeah,
Petraeus got in trouble for far less.
Well, he got in trouble for telling secrets to people who he wasn't even supposed to be hanging around with.
Yeah. But you've got a situation where the Secretary of State's not handling the secrets well and open for anybody to come in and get. How are there no charges for that?
Dave Aboisi says the fact they dropped the charges on Hillary only further proves that we have a broken system and a rigged government. I have seen enough on the news to make a case against her. I am sure the news has only reported a very small percentage of the facts they have. Why would the news hold anything back? Unless there's something in it for them.
Well, and he's saying because they want Hillary to win, and so...
Roy Aboisi says simply stating that any charges against Hillary that led to prosecution would be meaningless. Obama would have pardoned her in a heartbeat, and I think that's well known. So cutting bait at this point will save time and money, but unfortunately she'll be able to run with pointing out she did nothing wrong. So no case by any reasonable prosecutor is code for she would have been pardoned. That's interesting. I hadn't thought of that one.
Yeah, but even a pardon, that's going to hurt her presidential chances, isn't it? And now that she's found...
Well, she's the Democratic nominee, so it hasn't hurt him so far.
Yeah, only presumptive, though. If she had been indicted on some kind of charges, don't you think that would have affected the convention in July this month?
Yeah, I imagine it would have.
I would think. But now that there isn't any, it's smooth sailing ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it would be unusual for someone to elect a party's candidate if they're actually suspected of a crime.
Exactly, if they're wearing orange.
Betty Aboisi says, why don't they make the loser of the presidential race the VP? Okay, now do you mean if a Democrat wins, they make the Republican loser the vice president? Whoever came in second in the primaries or something? Like,
she's saying Donald Trump is Hillary's vice president.
I don't think that would work at all. The only time they've done that, I think, is when it was Adams and Jefferson.
I think that's the only one.
And they haven't done it since. But now, if you meant that, like, whoever comes in second, whoever the most people voted for that isn't Hillary Clinton, in this case Bernie Sanders, could be his running mate. But who would come in second to Trump? Probably Cruz,
It would
right?
have been Cruz. Yeah, it would have been Cruz. Because Rubio was far back, so Cruz would have been number two.
I think part of the reason they don't generally do that is because in the presidential race, they are constantly debating against all the ideas of that person. Hillary Clinton spent a lot of time trying to say that, Bernie Sanders was interesting, but didn't have, America's best interests at heart.
And Cruz was just ripped left and right by Trump every single debate.
Right. And they called him Lion Ted and all that stuff. And so, you don't call a guy Lion Ted for a year.
Then say, come on board.
And then say, okay, I think I've chosen him out of 300 million other people to be my running mate.
Yeah. Yeah. That's bad.
Simply because his name.
I don't have great feelings about any of those three names that were bandied about for vice president. But I don't know that there's anybody out in the party that would motivate me.
Yeah, well, and this was the problem with the presidential race itself, is every time you got a list of people's ideal candidates, Hillary Clinton wasn't on those lists, and neither was Donald Trump.
Yeah.
When people wanted their ideal candidate, Democrats usually picked Elizabeth Warren.
Usually.
Who I think actually made a lot of the Bernie Sanders supporters mad when she started campaigning for Hillary.
I think so, too. Yes.
And let's see, on the Republican side, it was never really clear who their ideal candidate was. I mean, there were people who said Rand Paul. And in fact, at the beginning, there were a lot of people who were very adamant about Rand Paul being the best candidate, but then he didn't get the votes.
Well, the problem is that I think the Republican Party itself is so fractured that they can't decide whether they need an ultra-conservative candidate or if they need a more moderate candidate. That's the problem.
Well, the thing is, they think they'll get more undecideds if they go moderate, but they'll lose all the Republicans.
Exactly. That's the yin and yang for the Republican Party, is they're like, well, if we get a moderate, we can get some Democrats or independents, but if we get a moderate, we're going to lose the base of the conservative movement.
Bill Aboisi says, I don't even know what the heck I'm paraphrasing.
Okay, thank you.
The vice president even does, or what good they are in the first place. I don't care who the VP is. I am sure they matter even less than the president does in the grand scheme of things. Well, I can tell you this. I've known a lot of people who could name all 44 presidents. I've never known anyone who could name all the vice presidents, although I'm sure they exist.
I'm sure they do. Yeah, I'm sure there's got to be somebody. But you know what? And
you tell somebody about like Schuyler Colfax and they go, oh, who's that? Oh, he was the vice president of the United States. Oh, really?
Oh, really?
When?
All right. That's good.
1800s. Okay.
So they go to a lot of ribbon cutting ceremonies. They visit a lot of funerals. They go to a lot of funerals.
Preside over the Senate. Seems like an important thing, but
I would think
they're not a voting member.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, something to think about with Mike Rogers, brought to you by the Boise Church of Christ, located at 2000 North El Dorado. Find more about the group at boisechurch.org. That's boisechurch.org, the Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Chris, thanks for a good show.
Thank you.
Have a good rest of your Tuesday, everybody. Todd, thanks for a good show. Paul J. will be back on Wednesday, 670 KBOI.
Something to think about with Mike Rogers.
This month in 1850, a group of Mormon settlers on a remote Lake Michigan island watched as James Strang sat on the throne. In an elaborate ceremony, he was crowned king of Beaver Island. James Strang was thought by Mormons to be the rightful successor to founder Joseph Smith. He claimed a vision led him and his 900 followers to Beaver Island in Lake Michigan. Apparently, a king in 1850 didn't go over very well. Strang beat federal charges and spies and saboteurs from Michigan's governor. He survived as a self-proclaimed king for 5 years and even served in the State House of Representatives. In the summer of 1855, Strang ordered his female followers to wear bloomers. At the time, this was scandalous, and many believe this was what led to his assassination. Beaver Island is a beautiful remote island off the coast of Michigan. I'd say go for a visit. Who knows, you might just become king. And as they say, it's good to be king. Just stay away from the bloomers. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.